Hey, everybody. Come over here right now. Closer. Just a little bit closer. And say the word I like to hear. Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. I was talking to him before the show. He really is great. He's great at what he does, and he's just a great guy in general. Chris, are you having a great day?
It's great to be here. Award-winning manager Jason Rothman. I am glad to be here. Always happy to share a day with my friend, part of the Holy Trinity of people that I share face-to-face time with every single day. You are among a very short crowd. And it's a very special day, Jason. I appreciate the fact that you mentioned that 3 years ago today, my young daughter was born. I'm sure the package is in the mail to welcome this third birthday to my daughter. Because you remember, we talked about her birth many years ago when we started this podcast. You remember, it was so funny. You were like, Chris, didn't you just have a baby? It was such a foreign idea. I remember you asking me about it. You're like, so you had a baby like last week. Everything all right? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. You kept asking all these questions, and it was always so entertaining because you were like, what's it like? Like, are you okay? Like, don't you need to go handle something? But yeah, glad to be here.
If we were sitting next to each other, I'd slap you right now. So you know that.
There's a very good reason.
Chris likes to walk right up to that line mm-hmm. of personal information and thinks he's a freaking breaking news telereporter or something just because I made fun of him and said he used to be because he's so good looking. Used to be a baseball coach, used to be a salesman, who knows what else. But I stopped doing that, but he still does the personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And if I was next to him, I'd slap him, and maybe that would be good for our ratings. But Chris, this is the 186th
amazing
episode of the Paid Search Podcast, and we're on fire right now. We're going to keep this thing going. 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
1,000. So in order to get to 1,000, guys, we need a little help, and we are so thankful for the help that we get from Opteo. OPTEO.com/PSP. They are our sponsor, regular sponsor, and you hear me talk about them all the time because they're a really cool software. If you're not familiar with it, let me give you a brief glimpse of what you can do with this software. You can optimize bids, test ad creative, analyze search terms, structure your accounts, your campaigns, optimize your display campaigns, do all these time-consuming processes that just will eat up your day. Opteo is there to help you get it done faster. These tasks that, you know, if you're a Google Ads manager, you know you got to dig in, you got to do them. You're going to have a checklist, you got to get things done, you got to have a process. This is a software designed to help that process work more efficiently and faster. The cool thing is, because you're a listener of the Paid Search Podcast, you get an extended trial. If you go to opteo.com/PSP, and you'll see a little button that says start your 30-day free trial. Well, guess what? Down at the right-hand corner, there's a little chat button. Say, hey, actually, I would really love an extension on that. Could you do that? They will give you an extended trial just for you because you're a listener. So try it out completely free. You're going to like it, as many of our listeners do, and we appreciate their sponsorship of the show.
Thanks, Chris. And I also want to thank Directive Consulting. Directive Consulting is the go-to B2B and enterprise search engine marketing agency. We talk about Google Ads, Facebook, Bing, search engine marketing, but it is a very different skill set and a very different kind of campaign strategies that are needed depending on the kind of business you have. There's small businesses, and then there's enterprise campaigns and B2B campaigns. And Directive Consulting is a go-to agency for those kind of campaigns. They do it all. SEO, digital PR, pay-per-click advertising, Google Ads, Bing, social media advertising, landing page design, conversion rate optimization. They do it all. Go to their website, directiveconsulting.com. Look at some of the brands they've worked with. Look at their blog articles on their website. Look at their case studies. You'll see the proof. And the most important thing to do on their website, directiveconsulting.com, get a free custom proposal. B2B and enterprise campaign, search engine marketing, go to directiveconsulting.com. Get a free custom proposal today.
Jason, as an award-winning Google Ads manager, I know you get a lot of questions, and I get a few, a couple every now and then, and people always want to ask us questions because Google Ads is complex. There's a reason people just sometimes jump into it and have a lot of issues because there's a lot to it. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. Guys, we do a questions and answers episode every now and then. You can go to paidsearchpodcast.com, send in your question. Lately, the question mailbag has been a little low. So send those questions in because we'll be doing another show and answering your questions. And we love to have great, thought-provoking, tough ones. Let's try and stump the chumps, which is Jason. So today's topic is engineered and created by me because Jason and I believe in splitting the work equally. So this is my week. So I took the route of something that's been eating away at me for a while because Jason, as I know you do, we do audits, we review new client accounts, we look at stuff sometimes and it's a train wreck, and it brings a tear to your eye when you see some of the things that are going on inside of accounts. And today what we're going to do is we're going to give three tips on the things that we see, and then one bonus tip that Jason has thrown in for me unwillingly. So here's the cool thing. If you guys listen all the time, you know, I'm all about being straightforward and honest. This is not just like something I Googled and I found it on a blog somewhere. This is literally things that I see. These are literally things that Jason sees in audits, in reviews that we see all the time. I'm going to try and give some examples of exactly, you know, what this looks like and how you can see if you're doing it and why it's an issue and why it's a bad thing. So Jason, I'm sure you've seen your share of train wrecks. Do you more frequently see campaigns with major issues or campaigns that are largely doing well? Would you say it's weighted one way or the other? People tend to make more mistakes or people tend to make more, you know, good choices?
Well, if they're coming to us, yeah, it would be, I would say more so there's issues with their accounts, right, and they can make them better. Now, the caveat to that would be every now and then I do get someone who wants to hire me and then I look at their account and I'm like, hire me. I want to hire you. Yeah, like that's right. your account's like yes. If it comes to me, I'm the best Google Ads manager on the planet for search campaigns for lead generation. So yes, obviously I can improve it. That's what I tell them. And they're like, I know. But I tell them, hey, but at the same time, maybe I can only squeeze another 5-10% of value out of this because you have it in pretty good shape. I do run into that every now and then. But a lot of the times when people contact me, Chris, yes, there are major problems. But I think part of that is a testament to the effectiveness of Google Ads generally. Because if some people were this messed up with their strategy and the way they have things set up and the mistakes they were making when it came to radio ads or television ads or print ads, they would get nothing for their budget. Like the equivalent would be, oh, you thought you were advertising on TV? No, you bought free programming at 2:30 in the morning in this third world country, not your local city. Right. So that's how bad the mistakes are. So if you do these mistakes in the other forms of marketing, you're going to have way more problems than you do with Google Ads. With Google Ads, you can have a lot of mistakes. You can be getting a lot of bad traffic, but you can also be getting some spot on traffic. If you do a B2B campaign like you do a lot, Chris, you'll know that, man, one link can change a company's business for that whole quarter or whatever, and it makes advertising worth it. So I think, yes, I see a lot of issues, but that is a testament to the overall effectiveness of search engine marketing and primarily Google Ads.
That's a great point because I very often hear people say, before I look at the campaign, they say, it's been doing really well. You know, largely we get, you know, I think the campaign's, you know, doing what it should. I just love to have it be more effective. Then I jump in, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad. I mean, like there's all kinds of mistakes, but it still works for them. So the encouraging thing is no matter what you do in Google Ads, how bad it is, very often the system still works for you. So I think that's a great point. So sometimes just the the integrity of the quality of search. Well, then imagine works.
Imagine how much better we can make it when it is not in good shape. They think it's performing great because it is helping their business, and then we come in and make it awesome.
All right, so let's get to it. Number one, this is the number one thing, and I saw an example just this week with this. So number one is measuring a non-converting action as a conversion. So that's all Google Ads speak for basically looking at a metric that shows a conversion and assuming that it's truly a conversion, a value to your company. It is a phone call. It is a form completed. But when I dig in and I find, oh, this is a SMART goal, right, from analytics. This does not determine a revenue generating action. And that is literally the only thing that has driven the success of the campaign. They don't look at the search terms. They just see, oh, they see click-through rate. They see cost per click. They see conversion rate, cost per conversion. And they think, done, I'm hitting it. They don't know what kind of traffic quality they're getting. They don't know what kind of bids. And then to compound that, what really always makes my heart go a flutter is when I see a campaign that's using, you know, SMART goals or some kind of newsletter sign up or some kind of non-transaction value action tracked as a conversion, and then they're using CPA bidding or maximized conversion bidding. So basically what the system's doing is it's continually to feed itself on these are the people that don't bounce on your website. These are the people that don't leave immediately. And it keeps feeding that. But what it's missing in that loop is, okay, those are the people that don't bounce, but maybe it's because they're researchers and they're just looking stuff. Maybe they're not low enough in the funnel. They're ready to purchase yet. So you have a bunch of non-bouncing visitors, but nobody's ringing your phone. Nobody's filling out your form. In reality, what you need is to shove that whole funnel up so that you can get lower into the funnel and get that stuff that truly does convert for you. So the loop of just non-converting actions being the gas to your system will just kill it. I mean, it won't kill it. It'll keep going, but you'll never truly get to that next level because you're measuring a non-revenue generating action as your conversion. So, Jason, I'm going to get to you in a second. I'm going to explain very quickly. Here's how to figure out if you're doing that. I have two different ways. Number one, go to your tools button up at the very top of Google, top right, and then go to conversions. Okay. And then look at the name of your conversions. Are these names things like SMART goal, time on site, interest form, or something that is not necessarily a qualified lead for you? Maybe you have a contact us form, but you also have a quote form. You know, maybe the quote form is much better because it's very long. It's very specific. And if someone's going to fill out that quote form, you know they're qualified, right? Consider what you're measuring, considering where these conversions are coming from. So if you don't see something that's qualified, that is going to be from a qualified visitor, phone calls, things like that, question what you're doing. Number two, look at the conversion data at the search term level. Okay, and I'm going to give you some specific instructions. Go to your search terms, filter for everything with just one click. Okay. Now, on your search term screen, now look at the past 30 days or something. Do a long term. Filter everything that has one click. Now look at your conversion column. Do you see things that have one click? And over to the right, it shows two or more conversions, right? So if you see one click leading to multiple conversions, you are now doubling your transaction or your conversion volume for one click. Unless you sell something that you can actually sell it to one click multiple times, which is, I can't think of one client that does that on a regular basis. So it's probably inaccurate. You are probably doubling your conversion data and you think you have an $80 cost per conversion, but in fact you have $160 cost per conversion because you are doubling your conversion volume. It's making your metrics look better than they are. So that's it. That's the number one thing that I see that people think it's doing good. I'm getting conversions, but in reality, when you dig into those conversions, it's an ugly picture.
And so the reason you don't like those, you have an I don't know how to phrase it the right way. You just don't have a good vibe about those goals that are like time on site, if there's bounce rate, newsletter sign up. Is it because you've seen the value of understanding real goals like lead form submissions and phone calls that last a certain amount of time?
Yeah. I mean, if I get them on the phone and I say, hey, you want me to get people to sign up on your newsletter or stay on your site for 2 minutes? Or do you want me to have them fill out your quote form or give you a call? They'll obviously say, oh, I want my quote form or phone calls. That's what I want. So why are you spending money generating a system that continually puts out time on site and newsletter signups?
Good point. And there's no excuse not to have that tracking on your site, because you do the free Google Ads website call tracking. You put that code on your site, you can track every phone call you get. Calls from ads you track, and then lead form tracking you can track mm-hmm. with Google Ads conversion code. And the pushback might be, well, I don't know how to edit my website and add this code. Well, you do know how to spend $1,000, $2,000 a month on Google Ads. So if you have that money to invest or spend, why can't you find someone to help you with your website and get these codes on your website so you can actually know what real conversions you're getting from Google Ads? So yeah, I see it a lot too, Chris. The lack of respect for conversion tracking is a big problem. People are missing out. It's not a big problem for me because it allows me to take advantage of other people who aren't doing that compete with my clients. And so we run better campaigns. But I think for just people themselves that are doing this, they're not utilizing this great tool the way it could fully be utilized. The only thing I'd add, Chris, is I like the segment button on the campaigns tab or whatever tab you're on.
Good point.
You segment out by conversion. I think it used to be conversion name. It might be conversion action
conversion
now.
Action, yep.
But it'll give you a description of what those actual conversions are in that conversion column. And basically just pulls a name, I think, from the conversions area, tools area. But I like looking at that. So yeah, big problem I see. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be doing these goals for time on site, pages viewed, all that kind of stuff, and optimizing for that? Or would you rather have no conversion data and be laser focused on cost per click and search terms?
The latter. I would rather have no conversion data and instead focus on the bounce rate information that I can get separately. I don't need the conversion that is focused on, you know, bounce rate and stuff like that. I'd rather see it in that column and then get something else.
I think my kind of ideal, if I'm not able to get my full goals on there, like lead forms and calls, I would like a time on site conversion of X amount of minutes from Google Ads or from Google Analytics to go off of that. And then I would just use that and I would go off of search terms and manually controlling that cost per click to where I wanted it. Mm-hmm. If I can't get the full conversion, sweet.
Yeah. All right. I got one more. And this one, it wasn't much of a contest, but this is definitely a number two on what's important. So number two, and I see this all the time, I see campaigns that with good intentions, someone sets up a bunch of keywords that are very specific to industries, subcategories of things they sell, services, geographic areas. They set up 15 ad groups, right? I mean, they follow our lazy man build that we talked about many episodes ago and slowly build their campaign into something that works well. And then over time, they just kind of let it sit and run, which is fine. But the problem is, there's one broad match word in there somewhere, or there's a modified broad that only has a plus on one of the words, or maybe on two words, something like that. And essentially what happens is the system will continue to put more budget towards that one word, you know, because it's more broad. It allows for more searches, more impressions, and the clicks go up. And then you start looking at 2 months, 3 months, 2 years, 4 years, and you realize your thousands and thousands of dollars that you've spent is 40% or more. I've seen, 80% of the spend over months and months and months will come from one or two keywords. And these words don't represent exactly what the client does. You know, like it'll be, we talk about movers all the time because it's just such an easy example. It'd just be movers. Modified broad, that's it. No geographic, no specification of the type of movers or, you know, hire a mover, anything like that. It's just movers. That's thrown in there with everything else. And then the system is running on maximize clicks, or it's running on something like that that just allows it to continue to spend. And before you know it, maybe you have a good working campaign, but you have a cost per conversion of $80, but that $80 cost per conversion is largely generated by these $20 cost per conversion keywords that only get 10% of the spend. The other 90% of the spend comes from this one keyword that has $120 cost per conversion and just keeps grinding out tons and tons of traffic, but the CPA is awful. You know, so
click-through rate could be awful too,
yeah,
on those loose BMMs.
Yeah, it turns out if you start dissecting these keywords, you realize, oh my goodness, this could be so much better if I just split this keyword up, you know? So here's what you do. Review the search terms for that one keyword. I'll give you exact information on how to do that. If you didn't know it, and I hear this all the time in my training sessions when I do individual training with people, you click the checkbox next to the keyword and then click search terms in the blue bar. You will then see search terms just for that one keyword. You have now looked at just the search terms for that one keyword, and you can now determine, where's all my money going? Turns out movers, you know, has spent $300, $400 on movers and shakers, you know, like something completely unrelated. I have this story from years ago when I had this voice talent company that I worked for, and they ended up spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands, I don't remember how much it was, but on searches for the voice. They're a voice talent company. They sell voiceover services, and they were getting clicks for people looking for the phone number for the voice. You know, the voice TV show.
The what?
The voice.
A what show?
I know.
Is that a television program?
Yeah. Come on, Zoomer. You know.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't watch TV. I don't own the TV.
But that is a perfect example of a client that it didn't take a huge amount of work to just immediately see, there it is. Bam, you're spending all this money on this one keyword. Turns out a lot of it's from the voice, even though the keyword is voice talent services. It was getting the voice searches. So,
Chris, I have people in my life who are, I don't know if you would call hippie or whatever. They're just, or just anti you, or just anti most things people like. Mm. And you try to have a conversation with them about shared cultural references.
And
you're
do.
Like, oh, that Jeep looks like that. That reminds me of Jurassic Park. Jurassic, what park is this? What park is that? A park that you went to? That's just the feeling you get when you talk
even,
to them.
It's like you don't sit by them at Christmas, like Thanksgiving, Christmas. No. You don't even, because you can't even have a conversation with them. I know. Yeah, I hear you. Okay,
Chris. So problem keywords. No, but it goes deeper than I know. You're going to tell them to sort by cost. People can't, they get
you just
it, Chris.
Stole my
they
thunder. It. It's very easy. Go to your jerk. You go to your keywords, sort by cost for the past 60, 90 days, whatever. See if you're a victim of this oversight. And, you know, do any of those contribute more than 40%? If that's the case, go back to that keyword or go to that keyword, look at the search terms, start breaking it up, start blocking some things, start making adjustments to the match type, something. Slow that spin down, let it diversify across.
I'm just in the mood to provide actionable advice today and provide value. I don't know why.
I'm just
in a very giving mood.
I've led you down this road.
Listen to these tips I'm about to give, Chris, how deep they are. Number one, the new interface as of a year ago, I guess, or a year and a half ago when it came out, has a very cool feature I remember you're in love with. You open up the date range, and instead of trying to figure out what was 90 days ago and sorting back 3 months, you just have a little thing at the bottom that says 90 days up to yesterday, 90 days up to today. You can punch in what amount of days you want. So that's a little tip. Okay. Number two, they go, oh, but what if I got conversions? I'm actually getting conversions from this, what you think would be a problem keyword. That doesn't look that good. Okay. Click the thing, the keyword, just like Chris said. Highlight that one keyword. Look at search terms for that one keyword, blue bar search terms. sort by conversions, and look at what search terms are actually getting you conversions from that loose BMM keyword. Oh, are those keywords you would show up on anyway, search terms you would show up on anyway because they're high quality and you have other exact and phrase match to show up on them? So no, you actually really weren't getting anything from this keyword because you'd be getting that good stuff if you paused it still, but you'd be losing all the bad stuff. Isn't that a great tip, Chris? Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
And then my third tip with this is sometimes it's just not one problem keyword. It's a bunch of loose broad match modified keywords across a bunch of different campaigns or ad groups maybe. And not one of them will stand out as like, oh, this is the one getting 40% of the cost. But if you actually kind of look at where your cost is going, you're like, oh, 3% went to this one keyword. 3% went to this other loose broad match modified. Another 7% to this other one. No conversions or conversions you'd be getting anyway from good keywords. It starts to add up. Then you got to do some filter work and pause those loose broad match modifieds that collectively are causing you problems.
Yeah. And one more final tip, since you're on a roll here, we're being so super productive. Try this. Do a filter at that one keyword search term level. So click that keyword. Look at the search terms for that one keyword, then put a filter in for the word, you know, Dallas or something like that. You'll see all the times that one search included Dallas, and you'll quickly realize, oh my gosh, when people type Dallas, I get a cost per conversion that is a quarter of what the entire, you know, campaign. Turns out, wow, that's super valuable, right? Or you may find the opposite. When they include the word higher, you know, or cheap, or something like that, it's very unprofitable for you. So you turn that one off, you block it. So that's another way to dissect it. Jason, before I give you the floor for your next tip and your bonus tip.
No bonus.
He just red boxed the bonus. I just had this flash. It was such a funny, I never thought of. I just had this flash of someone just downloading the show for the first time. And they hear you say the words loose BMM. And I just, you said that. And for a second, I stepped out of the Google Ads world. And I just have to say, I'm sorry. Jason's not talking about bowel movement. He's referring to broad match modified is what that is. So don't turn off the show. We're not talking about bowel movements today. That's a broad match modified. I just heard you say loose BMM. And I'm like, oh, gross. What a weird.
Well, Chris, maybe what did I say? What did I say on Patreon last week, Chris, about persuasion, about wizardry? Do you think anyone's ever going to forget loose BMM and ever for going to get this conversation?
Yep.
And no, they're going to take actionable advice and they're going to go check their broad match modified keywords because it's going to be in their head and they're never going to forget that phrase just because it's a funny sounding phrase.
Can we do a show called Fix Your Loose BM? Like, we'll just focus on loose broad match modified
keywords. I don't know if I want that audience.
Click audience. Or clickbait right there. People love discussions like that. All right.
What if our YouTube ratio of hits versus audible audio downloads went like through the roof?
Like home remedies to fix your loose BMM. Oh boy. All right, Jason, hit us with
Chris,
a good one.
One final thing about these problem keywords that you see in these accounts. It is so cool and it's very, people love instant gratification, you know? So one very instantly gratifying thing is to pause those problem keywords, refresh, look at all enabled keywords again for that time period, and then at the bottom where the filter says all enabled keyword data summed up, it's really fun to watch the click-through rate go from like 1% overall to 3.5%, or to watch the cost per conversion overall go to $80 down to $35, taking out those problems.
Yep.
Just very instantly gratifying.
Yeah, to just pause something. And just to watch the metrics, you know, suddenly the whole system shifts. All the other keywords finally get the spin they need and you get what you want.
No. Instantly. Looking at historical.
Oh, historical. I gotcha.
Yeah. It takes out that one line of that prompt keyword, the 40% of spend it had and horrible cost per conversion. And then instantly the total all enabled keywords data just instantly improves.
Oh, gotcha.
For that time period.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
You're not technically changing it, but just by setting that filter in, that's true. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, because you made that keyword not enabled.
So it's not, yeah.
And one interesting thing, it seems like bad cost per conversion, loose broad match modified keywords, they seem to also tie in with horrible click-through rates that can kind of make your account look worse than it is overall. All right. So, Chris, the one tip that I see where you get into someone's accounts, they say it's working okay, but it's just a horrible, horrible thing they're doing to themselves is I was going to call this another word, but bid adjustment party. They're having a bid adjustment party.
Party.
And there's two – a party. And there's too many bid adjustments going on. So throughout the time they've been managing their accounts, you know people love to make adjustments.
Oh, yeah.
You know there's a lot of adjustments you can make in Google Ads. Say they did 10% on the zip code. Then they did a 20% bid adjustment on the time of day. Then they did a negative 40% on that audience. Then they did up 37% on device. What is their bid when the bid is set at $10?
I need a calculator. I don't, yeah.
It's like a high school question.
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
If two trains are going, one train is going 40 miles per hour.
That's the worst question.
The other train is going 200 miles per hour. And the conductor on the train going 40 miles per hour freelances Google Ads part-time and lives a laptop lifestyle and has a laptop open. And in his campaign,
he lowers his bid by 40%. How much does he lose his conversion rate by?
Oh, that would be that'd be too much for some of these kids out there with the question. But so yeah, Chris, what would the effective bid be in that situation? Well, everyone can laugh. We can all have a good time. We got to cue in some real sad sound of music right now.
Yeah. Do that.
But while we're all laughing.
I'm going to sing it. Go ahead.
While we're all laughing, there's a campaign manager out there, an advertiser, who did have these bid adjustments in place. Shut up. Shut up.
Okay, sorry.
Shut up. But Chris, as we're laughing, there is someone out there. You know, there's millions of people out there. There's probably trillions of people out there.
Trillions?
Doing this to their campaign.
Okay.
Yes, trillions.
Trillions. Okay.
On the other planets that have Google Ads.
Oh.
Chris, don't you think this happens like way more than people?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of shameful?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done it myself plenty of times. It's it certainly is a trap that I fall into because you think, well, how can I optimize? How can I improve? And you think, well, look at the devices. Oh, there's there's an adjustment. And I think the one thing that lately I've been doing that will help me avoid falling into this trap too much is I will use the absolutely wonderful, so glad we have it, please don't take it away, Google, account campaign notes that are at the graph, the little graph level there. I'll put little campaign notes to say adjusted. When I make a big adjustment, I'll put, dropped device, mobile device bids by 30%, something like that. You know, I'll make a little point there so I don't forget that I dropped those bids by 30%, or something that's more aggressive, 40%, 50%, something like that, or turned it off completely. So that's something I'll sometimes do. And also if I make adjustments at other levels as well. But
well, Chris, you were all about telling people exactly actionable advice. How do you check if you're making this mistake? So the way you check is you go to your devices tab, go to your locations tab, go to your audiences, go to your schedule tab, go to your demographics. If there's any other place you can make bid adjustments, go there too. How do you like that for advice? And see if you have bid adjustments in place and then run the number yourself. Do, my bid is $10 and then try to run through those numbers and see what your actual effective bid is and look how you're not actually putting the bids where you think you're putting them. And just for clarity on this, Chris, there's a Google Help article, Google Ads Help, about bid adjustments. And if you scroll down through it, it says multiple bid adjustments. And it says, when you set more than one bid adjustment in your campaign, those adjustments are typically multiplied together to determine how much your bid will increase or decrease. However, multiple device and location bid adjustments behave differently.
Wow.
I think that has to do, they said, yeah. How do you like that
thanks.
For clarity?
Here's exactly how it works, except sometimes we change it.
Chris, I think in an example, they give about Paris and France, and those are two cities in Texas. If you set your adjustment to 50% for France and 100% for Paris, only the Paris most specific location will be used for traffic from users in Paris. Mm. So that's how they're giving clarity on that.
Okay.
And then they go through an example with, okay, your starting bid is a dollar. You have California up by 20%. You have Saturdays down by 50%. So it starts at a dollar. You go to $1.20 for people in California, but then on Saturdays, you divide that by half because you're down 50%, you're at 60 cents. And Chris, if you're all about the manual bids like we are, you're all about the cost per click. How do you keep track of all that if you've got way too many bid adjustments? Now, I'm all for bid adjustments, but you just got to really keep track of what you're doing. And one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is they have way, way more on than they thought, and they don't actually know what they're doing with their bids.
Yeah. Sometimes I will just do a wipe and I'll just clear all the device bids and ad schedule bids. Just,
you got to stop with these jokes you carry on throughout the entire show about one topic and then you throw in different words about it and you think you're a freaking comedian out there.
Come on. I sometimes have to wipe my modified
product. Wipe your slate clean.
Right. Okay, Jason has a bonus tip, but before we do the bonus tip, I'm going to tell you guys about Opteo. Opteo.com/PSP. That is Opteo.com/PSP. They have a great tool to help you get things done faster. If there's one thing that you need to remember from this, is it gets things done faster. We all have limited time. And as we've talked about today, there's a lot of things to check. And if you want to make adjustments, you want to see how things are affecting, you want to have a very visual representation of what's happening, not just a system that, you know, can help you get things done faster, but also have a visual representation of how it's affecting the campaign, alerts, graphical representations of up, down, you know, percentage change, all this stuff makes it look great. So you're going to like it, but you need to try it first because no matter how much I talk, you're not going to get it. So try it out at Opteo.com/PSP. It's a great system. Been talking about them for, gosh, I don't know, for months and months because it's a system that many of our listeners have come to rely on. And I can tell you from personal experience on that one. So go check them out, Opteo.com/PSP.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to give a big thank you to Directive Consulting. If you are a B2B advertiser out there, or an enterprise advertiser out there, check out directiveconsulting.com. Better is out there. You deserve more. They do it all. Search engine marketing, Google Ads, Bing, Facebook, social media advertising, landing pages, SEO. Check out some of their case studies on their website. Check out their resources. They have dedicated teams, daily communication, rapid execution, and predictable ROI. Go to directiveconsulting.com and get a free custom proposal today. Links to both Opteo and Directive are in the descriptions. So Chris, just briefly going to preview Patreon, and the Patreon audience is growing. We really appreciate that. It is only, I don't even know if I need to call it money. It's just $2 a month. We have a nice kind of after show going on there. We do it every week. I know you've got something for me I'm looking very much forward to. And then I've got a few things for you, Chris. I'm going to give an update on my quality score mission to figure out quality score. And I have a funny story about just how loose Broad Match Modified that I've seen has gotten. I talked about this last week. I have an example for you with that cost the great Chris Schaefer his own money because we're advertising together for the Paid Search podcast. And I'm going to explain to him how I wasted some of his money yesterday.
I think I know what you're going to say.
And you look forward to that.
I do. So yeah, and I have a story to tell from a client that I launched just this week that if you're a Google Ads manager, if you're an agency, if you're a freelancer, I mean, this is going to be really valuable because, Jason, I've been doing it a long time, but I still have to learn the hard way sometimes. Sometimes I think I know it all, and I just jump in, both arms swinging, and I get punched right in the nose, and that's what happened. So I got to tell you about my failure, which everybody, hey, $2 to hear about how Chris Schaefer failed. That's a good deal. That's a good deal right there. All right, guys. Well, we will be back, as always, next Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, and we'll catch you next week.